The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The Minister of State at the Department of Children, Equality, Disability Integration and Youth with Responsibility for Disability, Hildegard Nocton, is with me in studio. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme. Quite a bit to talk about. Can you tell me first of all about this new human rights strategy for disabled people?
So this is a national disability strategy out to 2030. What's different about this strategy is it has been co-designed with disabled people's organisations, those with the lived experience, to make sure that we are getting this right. They're also going to be involved in the implementation, the oversight, to make sure that it is implemented over the next 5 years. So I want to say a huge thank you to all of those who are engaged with this plan. This is a whole of government plan. It is not just me as Minister with responsibility for disability who has a role here. The Department of Transport, Minister for Transport, Health, Education, Social Protection. This is right across government, and we are going to be producing an action plan which is going to follow this strategy in November, and every single minister will be stepping up. They'll have targets, KPIs in relation to that, and it will become very apparent very quickly who is not stepping up to this step change to make sure we're making the lives of people with disabilities easier.
And what's the consequence of people missing targets?
There's a unit within the department of the Taoiseach. His department will have overall coordination. There's a cabinet committee that meets every month. I sit on that, the Minister for Finance, Public Expenditure. All government ministers will be brought in to make sure that this is delivered. Also, I just want to say this is about just to look at some of the key areas that this strategy is covering. Inclusive education, making sure that people with a disability who want to work or get into education or training, that they can do that. The levels at the moment of employment for people with a disability is way too low. We have wage subsidy schemes we've brought in. There's a minimum now of 15 hours per week where somebody with a disability has to work. I want to look at having two people work 7.5 hours a week, because not everyone will be able to work the 15 hours. Also in the area of, I suppose, residential homes, respite, day centres. But we have a huge housing plan now, Housing for All plan. We're spending billions of euros on housing, but we do not have enough houses for people with disabilities, and that is going to be a key focus as well.
But why I ask about what happens, or what are the consequences of people missing targets, is that we've had targets before. I mean, most famously, the Disability Act itself, which is two decades old, has a 6-month target for assessment and needs to be carried out, and it's almost never carried out within 6 months. Disabled people have been here before. They've heard all of these promises, yeah, and they think, what are they worth this time?
And there's a lot of anger and frustration among the disability sector out there. I meet them up and down the country. There's a lot of really positive, I just need to say this as well, because people working in the sector feel all we hear about is the negative, and I see the good work that they do on the ground. But to answer your question, this is going to be about delivery. There is going to be the oversight at a government level with the Taoiseach, but also the disability sector, what we call the disability persons organisations, will be part of the oversight and holding government to account. This is, you know, part of the UN CRPD. This is a human rights strategy, and I suppose our Oireachtas committees as well will be holding us to account. But I just want to say, from my point of view as Minister with Responsibility for Disability, I will be holding my government colleagues to account. I said that this upcoming budget, which we're all now in negotiations for, we're going through the estimates process, it is up to every single line minister to be drawing down funding in their department, be it transport, housing, whatever, for disability. And that needs to be seen in this upcoming budget. That is what is different about this strategy. It's not just the Minister for Disability or the Department of Disability who has a really fundamental role, really for specialised, complex cases. That's what my department should specialise in. It's not, you know, inclusive education, transport issues. For some people with a disability, it is not sometimes about getting a job. They might have a job. How do they get from their home to that job? So it's looking at our towns and villages, making them more accessible, public transport. And also, this is a living document. So if we're not getting this right, or if it needs to be tweaked, that's why the disability organisations will be part of the implementation plan, so that they'll say, look, this is not working. You need to change tack here. So it's going to be a flexible document.
So is the most significant thing about this, though, just the reality of increased funding?
The most significant part about it is, number one, that the disability sector are part of this. So they have been instrumental in drawing this up. This is not politicians, policymakers sitting at desks drawing up a national disability plan. There was a huge amount of consultation right across the country, town hall meetings, online meetings, you know, a huge amount of consultation since 2023.
Had previous strategies not involved consultation with disability groups?
Not as much as this. And often disability groups will say to me, there was something, and I just pick transport as an example. I don't want to be honing in on it too much, but, you know, a cycleway or a walkway was, you know, constructed and there wasn't enough engagement with disability organisations. Mm. We're looking at, and this is in the plan here, having audits for accessibility audits in every local authority. So towns and villages that have a population of greater than 5,000 people, they will have to carry out these accessible audits and then draw down funding to ensure that our towns and villages are accessible. Therapists in schools, for example, and in our CDNTs, we just know we don't have enough of them. We're hiring and there's a huge recruitment drive happening, but we need more coming through our third level institutions. We also need to be looking at alternative supports as well through assistive technologies, research and development in that area. So this is all of government approach. And what's different is the consultation and the involvement of the disability mm-hmm. sectors, the oversight and the implementation at a government level from the Department of the Taoiseach down. And then you're going to have your action plans that are going to be published. So every
does there not need to be consequences, targets. Though, for people not hitting the targets, as opposed to just measuring them?
Well, the consequences are so that it's going to be revealed very quickly which department, which area, which agencies are not delivering. And we all understand this is, it's not easy when you have government departments working in silos, as many of them do. So that is why it's going to be the strategic implementation group at the highest level of government that's going to be key to it. But I'm not here to, you know, have this document sit there. That's not why I was at the launch today. Mm. We had a huge turnout of those who engaged in this strategy in the Mansion House for our launch with the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach. We had the Minister for Agriculture, the Minister for Health, the Minister for Arts, right across government present, which shows the importance of this strategy, which was brought to Cabinet this morning. And I was very clear around the implementation and actions now.
You accept then, and maybe it's implicit in the in kind of the existence of this document, that governments heretofore have failed citizens in this country who are disabled?
As I said, there's a lot of good things happening in the disability sector.
A lot of bad things too.
And there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of anger. There are people, their parents, elderly parents coming to me with their grown-up children wanting to know what happens to my son and my daughter when I die. And that is one of the most devastating questions that we cannot answer. And that's where we need the forward planning in relation to housing. We're building all these houses, putting billions into it. So we need to make sure we're providing homes for people with a disability. And it's also people who acquire a disability, obviously, throughout their lifetimes. Yeah. We're all growing older. The likelihood of many of us having some form of a disability in time is, you know, very real. So we need to be planning now for how we're going to house ourselves as well into the future.
Yeah, and listen, I it's the easiest thing in the world when you're kind of sitting in this chair to just shoot down everything government does. And you know, strategies like this on one level are to be commended. You'd have to accept it's coming late in the day for a lot of people. That's not a new reality that, you know, there was a time, you're right, where people, if they had a disability, if they were born with Down syndrome, they wouldn't outlive their parents. Mm. It was just the reality of life kind of 40, 50 years ago. Mm. But it has been the reality for a couple of decades now. You know, parents have been saying that. They're saying it to you now. They've been saying it to other people, previous ministers, for years and years and years. What are you going to do about it?
Yes, and that's why...
The state has failed those people, haven't they?
And I'm not here to say that... And that's why we have to have this all of government strategy, so that government departments aren't saying, oh, sorry, that's an education issue, go over there. That's a social protection issue with your disability allowance, go over to that department.
That kind of, you know, tearing down of the silos, will this solve the problem, for example, where you've got, say a child presents at child and adolescent mental health services and they're told, oh no, you're autistic.
Exactly.
You need to go to disability services. Disability services say, autism's not your problem. Your problem is you've got kind of suicidal tendencies and severe depression. You need to go back to CAMHS. And the child doesn't get seen by anyone.
This is exactly it. So it's the single door where you go into your GP, whether it's autism, mental health, whatever it is, and you are then signposted in the right direction. And I know as I'm saying that, people are saying, oh, this is, you know, I can hear people's frustration saying that won't happen, but this is what we have to do. And I'm not saying that we're going to get everything right straight away. And I said this today at the launch, But that is why listening to those people who are involved in the implementation, that's people with disabilities, to see, are we getting this right? How do we need to change it? So we will make mistakes, but this is a flexible document and these actions are going to change between now and 2030. Our population is increasing. People are living longer. Disabilities are getting more complex as well as a result of that. So we need to be forward planning for it. So it's not going to be easy. I'm not coming in here saying it's all solved. It's not. This is just day one of the strategy. Every minister will have their action plan in relation to disability. The first set of action plans will be produced in November, but that doesn't mean that the work doesn't start till then. There's a budget before that, so every department needs to be drawing down their funding in relation to disability for their sector.
We had Keelan Gallagher on the show yesterday, the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, and this isn't with regard to disabled children, but just more broadly vulnerable children. Obviously, it was in the context of Donna Bate, and that search is ongoing. But she was pretty scathing about the systems that exist in this country in terms of protecting children. Pretty scathing of kind of what happened after Ciarán Doirnín, that there was this an internal review into that. She hasn't seen the content. I was surprised by that the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, you know, sought access to that content, to that review, and was told she wasn't allowed to see it. She couldn't see it. Nobody knows what was recommended. Nobody knows if the recommendations have been implemented. And here we are dealing with a kind of eerily similar case 12 months later. Would you share her concerns?
I think anybody listening to, I suppose, those two particular cases, and we don't want to talk about particular cases, but it is a real concern. And I know that Minister Norma Foley, who's Minister with responsibility for children, has had a direct engagement with TUSLA in relation to, I suppose, the most recent case. They're carrying out a review in relation to, the particular family in question, but also there's an independent review panel looking outside of TUSLA and other cases, particularly around the time of COVID-19, if particular cases were closed. That's not to say that a case that's closed, it's obviously a good thing.
But I think the broader point was the systems are not near robust enough.
And
Niamh Herrick actually as well makes a similar point from the Human Rights and Equality Commission the day before on our show. And this was before the Donna Bate story broke. He just happened to be on and was talking about child trafficking and said, our systems are nowhere near as robust as you would have even in our nearest neighbour when it comes to protecting children like this. You know, the rates of child trafficking, says, are way higher in the north. And he goes, in reality, there's not a lot more of it in the north. It's that it's not reported in the south because our systems don't work or they don't exist.
Well, I think there has a lot of work has happened in relation to safeguarding. I know Minister Foley is bringing forward legislation in relation to that. But can I just say, in relation to these particular cases and in relation to TUSLA as well, there is a review happening, but also it's going beyond TUSLA. And I think Minister Foley and government are taking this very seriously. So whatever needs to be done will be done. And I'm sure we will be listening as well. And government will be to those, I suppose, independent voices, ensuring that the children in our country are safe and protected.
Hildegard Nocton, Minister of State at the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Galway TD, for Fine Gael as well. Minister, thanks a million.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.